And at the end, don't applaud, just throw money.
I mean, that's your whole job.
Hey, it worked, right? Again, I need to be able to be seen. You can't even see me behind this. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia Chronicles, discussed his transformation from atheist, agnostic to Christian. He said that he came to understand that God existed because he realized that humanity was born with a moral compass, an innate concept of what is right and what is wrong. He called it the law of nature. He went on to say a human could choose to obey the law of nature or to disobey it. Who but a loving God could create and choose to love such a fickle creature as us? We all know the story of the fall. But in verses 11 through 13, we see Adam and Eve are busted. What do? Adam blames Eve. And Eve blames the serpent. That damn devil made her do it. Like the children that they were, they refused to take responsibility for their choices. The choice they had made to disobey their parents because they did not want to deal with the consequences of that choice. That's all kids, right, parents? Amen? I have 4 and 3 grandchildren. Yes. In the forgotten books of Eden, the story of Adam and Eve after the expulsion is told. And it's kind of funny. Every day they go to the gates and they whine and they cry and they beg and they cajole and they say, please release us from these consequences. We don't know what we're doing. They were infants. They didn't know how to feed themselves. They didn't know how to find water. But God tells them, of your own free will, you transgressed. Through your desire for divinity, greatness, and an exalted state. A little while later, he kind of rubs it in and says, for I knew thou shouldst transgress and sin and come out into this land. Yet I would not force thee. He would not force them to obey, to worship, to be blind followers. Let's back up a bit to a word I know is bandied about a lot, especially in modern politics. It's not taken seriously, but it's tossed around like a beach ball at a graduation. Responsibility. Big word. It echoes with gravity and depth of meaning. We love that word. What it means, applause and backpats and feel good natural consequences. But when it means we screwed up or transgressed, we duck and dodge and weave like Emmett Smith at the Super Bowl. Just like our forebears, Adam and Eve, we point fingers, make excuses, shrug our shoulders. We might offer a half-assed apology followed by a but. We deflect. Oh, how we deflect. Not my problem. I don't do that. My kids are good kids. They were raised in a loving Christian home. Somebody must have made them do it. Queers, hippies, thugs, or my favorite, the wrong crowd. Their parents did all these things wrong, and just look where that's gotten us. This is why we can't have nice things. Like Job's friends, we blame people for their own trials and tribulations. They're being punished by God for not obeying his commandments, for not doing what we say he meant when he said that. They're being punished. Sometimes we cry out to God like Job himself. And we ask, what have I done to deserve this? Others blame God. Well, if he's so great and he loves us so much, why are all these terrible things happening? Why are we in so much pain and isolation, which is what all that bad stuff kind of boils down to anyway? Like spoiled brats, we have come to a place where we believe that if we ask for something, it should just be given to us. We want what we want, and we want it now. Whether or not it's good for us, whether or not it's something we need, whether or not it hurts someone else in the process. But God is our parent. He loves us and only wants good things for us. Good parents don't always say yes. Sometimes the answer is not yet. Sometimes the answer is maybe. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is, you get the picture. But like a solid, loving parent, God has led us through our childhood, from our infancy as a species, through our childhood, all the way to where we are today. Slapping us on the hand when we reach for the hot stove and chastising us for being disobedient. When humanity entered adolescence and was rebellious, the consequence was that we traveled through the desert for 40 years, but God never left us. He fed us. When our early adulthood came, it saw us try to codify that which cannot be completely legislated, human experience. Then came wisdom. Then came the knowledge and deliverance of Jesus Christ. Christ came for two reasons: to show us the way back to God, and to shine the light of his pure love on us. He said, Jesus, to stop making things so complicated. I mean, 635 laws? He said, stop judging, stop condemning, stop pointing fingers. Stop taking each other's inventory. He said, this is the way, the path back to God, and it's through me. The second part of Christ's mission, to break down the barrier between us and God, so that we can receive the true light. Jesus did this by removing the fear of punishment from God. We don't have to be afraid of that ever again. He atoned for our sins. He was the perfect sacrifice. Christ took us to the next level with God. He took us from a parent-child relationship to a parent-adult-child relationship. Within this context, however, what he couldn't do, what he shouldn't do, is remove the inevitability of natural consequences for our choices. Why do we have disease, pestilence, pain, anguish, troubles? Not because we are being punished, but because our actions have led us here. I mean, poo rolls downhill even for Christians. We can come to understand that these negative things can be turned by God into positives, things to help us grow and mature and come to understanding if we choose to have faith, if we choose to take responsibility for our part, and if we choose to obey the will of God and to follow the will of our heavenly parent. In line with one of the earlier verses, I will close with an inspirational quote from an important man. With great power comes great responsibility. Ben Parker, Spider-Man's uncle. Thank you.
All right, so Jack pointed out a couple really cool things that we're going to put into practice right now. The first one is how the Bible shows this cool progression that we can look at just as people. So, like, we don't have to see it totally like, well, everything would have been perfect, but then they messed up. But I think we can also see it in this way of just this progression of childhood. Like, we kind of grow up in this thing that's kind of like eating. I just get to sit here and eat all day. I just cry when I want food and mom just sticks it in my mouth. It's kind of like eating. And then there's this point in life where we hit this kind of like the fall in the sense of it's this loss of innocence. So I was, everything was innocent, everything was fine. You run around the house naked and you don't have any idea. And then you kind of hit this point of like, oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't do this. I feel a little ashamed. It's not necessarily that you've become a bad person, but there's this kind of new awareness that you have in your life that now you have to deal with. And we generally deal with it the same way you see it dealt with in the Bible. So we go from this point of innocence, free reign, I just trust mom to reel me in if I get too far out there, to we need a rule for everything. Like when we go to school, what shoes should I wear? Do I look like this? Kids have more rules than anybody. Like, this is who you can talk to and who you can't talk to. But that's a part of that stage of life. Like, I don't have any wisdom. All I have is what are the rules? I can obey the rules. And then we hit this point, generally late teens, where we start to see the rules don't always work. Like, I thought the rules always worked, and now the same rules that worked for me are bumping me in the head, and they ain't working anymore, and what do I do with this? After that, we kind of go through this stage of, you know what's central? If I just love people. But at this point, we're young. We're generally in our 20s and our 30s. It's a very fiery love. It's not like a sweet, chill back love. It's a very, like, let's protest and fix some things type of love that we kind of see with Jesus. Jesus wasn't just coming and saying, hey, let's love, guys. That's sweet. He was turning over tables. He was saying, you used to say this, but let's say that. After Jesus, you kind of see this next progression in Paul. And Paul's trying to explain Jesus. Paul even almost kind of takes a step back. Like, he's like, love, but let's kind of go back to the rules we got. And then we go to this final stage, which you see throughout the books of 1 John, which he read from, which are absolutely beautiful, where it's like John is this old man who's just like, children, love each other because love comes from God. And it's just this true wisdom that we grow to, where we learn to just say, you know what? If I sit back and I love God with all my heart, mind, and spirit, I love my neighbor as myself, that's enough. Same lesson that we've learned, but now we have real wisdom to apply it. Because now you will have huge fights over what does it mean to love. Huge fights. And I think just the older you get, you reach this point of wisdom where it's like, I know what love is, and I know that love is enough. And so we're progressing to that point. Now, a part of that is that we do have free will. We do have the opportunity to do things on our own. So when we look at people and we go, well, why does God let those people starve? Or why does God let bad things happen to those people? Now we get to turn around and ask ourselves, why do we let bad things happen to those people? Why is anybody in this country starving when we have resources? So if you go back to creation, when he says that he gave them dominion over the earth. So if something's happening on the earth that's wrong, talk to the managers. We're talking to the owner. Talk to the managers. So we have that opportunity to make earth what we think it should be. And we want to start exercising that. So what we're going to do now, in honor of that, is get in groups of two or three. We're going to eyes got big when I said that. Like, what's going to happen? All right. So groups of two or three. What we're looking at is, where are you on that course of growth? Are you still in the area where I need lots of rules? I need lots of boundaries set up and I don't operate well there? Have you hit that stage where you are that fierce lover who might love somebody else that you want to go knock over tables from someone who you don't think is, and you still have some growth to do? Have you seen yourself hit that point of love and now you're backtracking? Like, now I'm trying to backtrack and kind of put the rules and the love together. Where are you? So get together. We can talk about those things. Then we can start the process of doing it together. Because the good thing about free will is that we're not stuck. Whatever phase you're at, you're not stuck. And we all have the ability to help one another. So we're going to go ahead and do that now. Take some time, discuss those things together, pray with one another, and then we'll go from there. So we're going to take about 5 to 7-ish minutes, groups of two or three.